This is India Noir, India's most critically acclaimed horror and crime storytelling podcast. You can now follow the podcast exclusively on Spotify. Fear FM, Season 3. Episode 13. After Parul, her children, and Sujata had assembled in the basement of the haunted house, Dhruman Baba set about the task of prepping the room for the upcoming ritual. Baba amazed everyone with his artistic skill as he drew a series of mandalas worded with phrases from the Atharva Veda on the basement floor. He then framed it with floral borders with the aid of multicolored chalks. He placed several lit lamps at the center of the sacred illustration before proceeding to draw a large circle closer to the eastern end of the room. This he decorated with prayers from Devi Mahatmyam and depictions of chakras and snakes. He placed a sculpture of Vishnu in his Varaha form at the center of the warded circle and commanded the others to stand within its boundaries at all times. Baba invited Ekta to join him at the squared ceremonial space where he sat in Padmasana.
"Let's begin," Baba said.
Ekta repeated Baba's Vedic chants diligently. Over the last few days, he had drilled into her the importance of uttering words of power with the right cadence, pronunciation, and clarity. After chanting several scrolls worth of mantras, Baba got up and grabbed a pickaxe that was leaning against the wall. He had grabbed it from Sujatha's backyard shed.
"Read the passage, Ascension of Devi, on page 83.
Baba directed Ekta. Sujata, Parul and Neha looked on with their palms joined as Ekta read the passage and Baba slammed the pickaxe into the spot which had previously opened a passage to Narakaranya forest. Baba believed that this was the section of the wall which was the final resting place of the aggrieved twins.
"You might not notice anything at the beginning, but know that as we transition into the crucial stages of the ceremony, you will experience things that will shake you to the core,"
Dhruman Baba had warned them earlier that morning. Parul and Sujata sang their favorite prayers over the clash and bang of the axe pounding into the wall in an attempt to quell the fear threatening to paralyze their bodies. Neha, who was both fascinated and terrified by the ritual, joined them in singing the paeans. True to Baba's prediction, a feast of unexplainable phenomena greeted their eyes and ears. A pained, moaning sound emerged from the house, the sound of an animal in mortal agony. The foundations of the house trembled as if a monstrous giant had awakened beneath it and was clambering up from the depths. Baba stopped and looked at Ekta.
"Time to chant the Vishnu Sahasranama."
As Ekta began chanting the Lord's many names, Sujata noticed her vision wavering ever so slightly and streaks of blue lights appearing and disappearing with great rapidity.
"Lord Vishnu, give me the strength," she said.
The walls around them pulsed with energy, and ripples that defied the laws of physics disturbed their surface. Sujatha gasped at the sight of these illusions.
"Are you seeing this?" she asked Parul.
Parul looked wide-eyed at the spectral sights surrounding her and nodded fearfully. As Sujatha looked on, the walls projected visions of her departed family members, people who had fallen victim to the curse of the twin poltergeists. Here was the sight of an uncle killed by falling masonry. There was the vision of an aunt choking on food. Only in this version of events, she could see the vengeful ghostly hands of the monstrous twins forcing their untimely deaths. One after another, scenes of the worst atrocities they had perpetrated on Sujatha's family played out on the walls like a cinema screen. Strength fled from Sujatha's body as she was force-fed this bloody history of cruelty. The 8-year-old girl, the former resident of the haunted home, being pushed down the stairs. Sujatha's young cousin, chased onto the road by a fearsome apparition and being run over by a truck.
"No, no, no, stop it," Sujatha muttered. "Are you okay? What are you seeing?" Parul inquired.
"Are you not seeing this?
Seeing what those things did to my family?" Sujatha said. "I can see strange lights, that's all," Parul said.
Sujatha's face took on a deathly pallor as her eyes fell on the moving image of her husband's car. She could see the happy faces of her husband and son in the front seat.
"No, no, no, not this, not this," she muttered helplessly.
She saw the twin monstrosities materializing in the middle of the road, causing the vehicle to swerve and crash into a tree. She witnessed her husband's face slam into the steering wheel, his facial bones shattering and his neck cranking in an impossible angle. Her son flew out through the windshield and slammed the top of his head against the tree. His small head split like a ripened fruit.
"No!" Sujatha screamed. "I cannot be here. I want to go home."
Baba stopped his assault on the wall and turned to face her. "You are disturbing my concentration. I asked you to pray and wait within the boundaries of that sacred space for your own welfare."
"I cannot do it. I cannot do it,"
Sujatha wailed and fell to the floor. "Do not pay heed to the illusions around you," Baba instructed.
"No, no, I can't, I can't," Sujatha wept.
Baba sighed and dropped the pickaxe. He curtailed his frustration and approached the fallen woman. He pulled a sacred thread from one of the folds in his dhoti and gave it to Sujatha. "Hold on to this at all times. Even your house might not be safe, but this might buy you time." Sujatha snatched the thread from Baba's hands.
"I will be driving off immediately," Sujatha said, crying tears of relief.
"Good," Baba said with a wry smile. "Off you go." Sujatha stood up, wiping her tears.
"I'm sorry, Parul,"
she said to the middle-aged woman, hugging Neha's frightened body.
"I wanted to be here for all of you."
"We understand," Parul said. "Now go." Sujatha was nearly run over by the police jeep as she raced out of the gates of the haunted house. The vehicle lightly bumped her as it came to a screeching halt, knocking her off her feet and dropping her onto her butt.
"What are you, blind?"
the sub-inspector, who was seated in the passenger seat, screamed. He took a few moments to calm himself before inquiring,
"Are you all right, madam?"
A constable jumped out of the back of the jeep and helped her up to her feet.
"Where were you going in such a hurry?"
the middle-aged, moustached inspector asked the woman, who was swiping at her dirt-encrusted sari. "Just heading home to grab a few things," she said hesitantly. The sub-inspector looked at the haunted house suspiciously and said,
"What were you doing there?"
Sujatha thought for a few seconds before answering. "There is a Griha Pravesh Puja going on there for a family that has just moved in."
"All right," the officer said, refusing to take his eyes off the ominous-looking home.
He then pulled a photo out of his pocket and showed it to Sujatha. It was an image of the neighborhood bully Vidhu cutting his birthday cake.
"Have you seen this kid around?"
the inspector asked. "Not for a few days, which is surprising. He's always involved in some sort of mischief. Just rides up and down the street causing trouble," Sujatha responded.
"That's because he has been missing for days," the inspector said.
"Really? What happened, sir?" Sujatha inquired.
"We are not sure at this stage. His friends think that he has run away. His parents seem to think otherwise. But we found his stolen bicycle last night, and the thief confessed that he found it lying somewhere along this street, although he couldn't remember exactly where."
"Oh God," Sujatha exclaimed.
"You wouldn't happen to know where he is, would you?"
he asked in a suspicious voice. Sujatha shook her head.
"We will be door-knocking along the street over the next few days, so make sure you are at home, and keep an eye out for anything strange," he said before signaling the driver to get a move on.
"I will," Sujatha responded.
The jeep drove off, leaving Sujatha behind in a cloud of dust.
She clenched the pallu of her sari nervously. "What happened to that brat?" She looked up at the house and mumbled, "Did they do something to him?" Unable to hold that line of thought and the horrifying possibilities it offered, Sujatha rushed off, failing to notice that during the fall, she had lost the sacred thread that Baba had provided her for her protection. Sujatha barged into her home via the main door and closed it behind her, before arrowing towards the rack on the wall to grab her car keys. She couldn't find the keys on there. "Shit," she muttered in frustration. Rattled by the sights in the house and the terrible news given to her by the policeman, her hands shook as she engaged in a fumbling search through nearby cabinets and drawers. There was no sign of the key. She scanned the living room in panic before spotting her quarry under the thick Sunday newspaper on her coffee table. As she triumphantly picked up the keys, her eyes fell on the large French doors at the back of the house. It was wide open. "Did I not lock it before we left?" she wondered. She raced to the back of the house to close it. However, before she could reach the doors, one of the rabid street dogs that she had encountered when Dhruman Baba had first arrived at her home stalked into the dining room. It growled and bared its yellow fangs, which slavered thick ropes of drool. More snarls rang through the house as two more dogs emerged from her bedroom, their eyes piercing and opening with devilish intentions. Two barks startled her as she witnessed a new pair of beasts flanking her from the living room. "Where did they come from?" she wondered. Sujatha bit back a scream as a shudder racked her body. Cold tentacles of dread threatened to squeeze the air out of her lungs. She remembered Baba's sacred thread and searched for it on her person, but it was nowhere to be found. Her stomach threatened to empty its contents.
No, no, no,
she muttered as the creatures stalked forwards. Their heads stooped low and their ears perked up. Their emaciated bodies tensed with anticipation, making them look even more skeletal and menacing. The dog that had breached the back door was the first to latch onto her sari. Sujata grabbed an umbrella which was lying on the dining table and smacked the creature on its head. It yelped and let her go before trying again. This time, it tore off the lower half of her sari before receiving a hard blow to its snout. Sujata turned around and waved the umbrella at the other creatures menacingly, but it did not seem to have any effect. Buoyed by their numerical superiority, they inched closer, snarling and snapping their menacing maws. Sujata leapt over one of the animals, still waving her makeshift weapon, in a futile attempt to bolt towards the main door. She was brought down by a swift and crunching bite to her Achilles heel, which sent a scalding wave of pain through her body. Sujata screamed as pain sheeted through her. She slammed into the floor, cracking open her head in the process. Black spots danced in front of her vision as a canine shape loomed out of the blur and attacked her front on. It latched onto her face and tugged at her skin, ripping it off like a glove being removed from warmed hands. Another beast climbed onto her back and began champing at her neck, while the other animals went for her torso and legs. Vicious bites and savage yanks delivered by famished mouths soon deprived Sujata of her flesh. Her blood sprayed on her expensive furniture and pooled around her as she was stripped to the bone by a pack of malevolent creatures under the influence of a terrifying supernatural force. She thought she saw her husband and son watching the proceedings sorrowfully from a corner of the room, but then her attackers robbed her of her vision. She screamed for a while, till one of the animals managed to turn her around and ripped out her throat, silencing her forever. Thanks for listening to Indian Noir. Click the follow button on your Spotify app or Spotify desktop software. You can also take a sneak peek at how the show is produced and my life and my interests via my social media channels. I am at Indian Noir on Instagram and Twitter.